You are now listening to Friday Night Cap with your main man, Rolo. Enjoy.
What's going on, bro?
Evening, sir. Hear me okay?
Joined by Will Lozado, local here in the Broward area. Broward, right? You're Broward.
Lozada. Hey.
Is it Lozada or Lozado?
Lozada.
Okay, Lozada.
Pet peeve. No, I'm actually in South Florida now, man.
What?
I've returned back to the motherland.
That's the part where, you know, on Lion King, Mufasa tells his son, don't go. That's...
Son, never go there.
Well, that's awesome then if you're further south, because you could just hotch over to 88th and I got a table fine, so I'm ready to go.
Awesome, man. I got terrain sitting at the house. We'll knock out some stuff this weekend.
Full show, 4-day weekend for me, so I'm happy about that. So before I start, I like to do some news and announcements.
Okay.
All right. So this weekend, actually, if you're in the Orlando area, May 26th, Bearded Brown Coat ITC tournament. It's a 2K event. And then you have another one on the same May 26th at Critical Hit Games, ITC 2K event. And then you also have coming up on Saturday, June 23rd, Amada Games also has the ITC 2K event. A lot of ITC events coming up. And DACACon just put up their notification not too long ago. So September 15 to 16, I think they're only taking 32 players, which is also a big ITC event. But I don't understand the winning prize, but I guess that,
it's an orc run.
Orcs will be good by then, I hope.
All right. Long enough.
All right, man. Well, thanks for joining me today, because today we're going to be dojoing this this Tau list that I've been running around with. And I kind of went undefeated this weekend with it. And I already know a few flaws, but I want to tweak it to make it better. So maybe we can talk about that. But before we get into it, let's talk about the GT, bro. Do you think everything's going to switch over to 1750?
I think there's going to be a push for it. I think we're going to hit some divergent paths here. I think we're going to get a group of people who are just going to follow the ITC lead, and ITC is very, very flagrantly pushing clocks. And I think there's going to be people who sort of say, hey, why don't we just run it at a lower point level to cut back? I think there's going to be a little bit of fracturing before it kind of reforms back together. I think some of the people asking for clocks don't really know what they're asking for yet. I mean, you can attest to what clock play is like.
No, absolutely. We both played in War Machine events, and the clock, it makes you very particular in your moves, and you have to be very precise, very fast, and your last 5 minutes just causes you to have anxiety. So that's why I was drunk most of the time in these events. So if not, I'll probably have a heart attack.
Yeah. It incentivizes a very particular style of play. And I don't know if it's really conducive to a positive gaming experience as a whole. And so, I'm just sort of kind of sitting back laughing hearing people talk about it. And I'm like, guys, you know, when somebody stops your turn to ask you a rule question, and you realize, or to challenge something you're doing, and you realize you're burning clock for it, your whole demeanor changes to how you would do it normally. So, you know, just a simple rule query like that. Hey, oh, can you remeasure that for me? No, it's 2 inches. Or, you know, along those lines.
But with that, I think you would have to add, because, like, we're also thinking in a War Machine kind of
That's very true.
So you have a PG that knows all the rules. We're going to need a TO that knows all the codexes, All right, so you could just stop the clock and be like on both players' turns and be like, Tio, is this a legit rule? But that's a lot of like for a big event, especially like a GT like that, you gotta have a lot of good TOs that know their shit.
Yeah. It's one of those things where the clock just becomes a resource and it just becomes something that's gamed just like terrain is game, just like the ITC format rules are, like gangbusters and all of that stuff. All of that stuff is game. So it's just going to be something else that's going to end up inevitably being gamed. And we'll just have to go from there. We just kind of have to see how the chips fall.
Yeah, I don't mind it because, like, all right, you do the clock on competitive for match play, it's on the clock. But for narrative, you don't play on the clock. You're just playing for fun. It's whatever narrative campaign. So I think a player needs to pick their poison. You know, you're going to go to an event, they'll play just narrative if you just want to have fun. But if you want to play competitive, you're going to have to play on the clock and you have to learn that system. But I think it hurts a lot of armies right now that are playing hordes. Like me, man, I'm shoveling like 100 Cadians. I know you have like what, 180 cultists on one list.
Well, see, that's sort of like my. I think that's kind of a little bit of a cop out that we've started to kind of evolve into this. Well, narrative players don't have to do it. Really, when was the last time you played a power level game, man? Even in the most casual of casual environments. So it's something that's going to immediately filter. I don't think clocks, personally, I don't think clocks will become standardized in casual play. But when you have a list that's good on clock versus having a list that's not good on clock, you remember those? Like,
Yeah, no, definitely.
it further fragments the builds. But yeah, I'm actually painting cultists as we speak because I'm tired of playing the Gray Tide.
So you're gonna play Black Tide?
But purple, purple,
Wow.
pink, purple, pink, black.
All right, nice.
Some hair metal, some 80s love back here.
They all have like three polka dots on their
No, like, base coat, three colors, ITC legal, stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, pushing 180 cultists across the board every single turn is involved. I mean, I think about it. I'm playing a list that's active in all four phases of the game. I'm active in psychic, I'm active in shooting, I'm active in assault, and I'm active in movement. And many turns, I'm moving one unit twice a turn. Like every turn, something's getting warp time, assuming I get it off without interruptions.
Oh,
So
yeah.
I play very fast. And sometimes my opponents get taken off guard by it because I really don't slow down for them. It's nothing personal to them. I encourage them to remeasure everything of mine. I keep very close track of where I started at. I announce what I'm doing. I make it very loud and very clear. Like, hey, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. But I'm hauling ass because I know that my tournament is going to live or die off whether I can hit turns four, five, four and five. Like, that's my live and die moment. I'm an attrition build by my sort of nature. So I have to get my opponent, I have to do my part to get my opponent into the place where I can capitalize in the game.
No, I definitely. I will say a lot of my speed for the clock has come from my War Machine days. I pushed my 120 Cadian build, and I was pushing it like 30 minutes a turn. And even there is like gracious. I was maybe 29 and change. And I'm very precise on like everything, which is very weird. When you play against like old school like Warhammer players, I don't know if you notice this. Like you play one of them and you're so precise. You have the widgets come out. You have like little stupid little tokens, and they're like, man, this guy is playing like to the T. I don't know if you've encountered that yet.
Hey man, I love my widgets. They speed my game up. They let me sort of take my shortcuts where I can take them, which is really important because I need to try to take as many shortcuts in my turn as possible so we can get to your turn So Mr. Cadian guard player can shoot every single las pistol in his army for 35 minutes, 40 minutes on turn one, while I sit there and just pick up models. Okay. Sure. 10 die. Okay. 15 die. So.
That is true. The witches do save a lot of time with me. You would you be mind playing 1750 now on major events or keep it at 2K? Man,
I just like playing Warhammer, man. I mean, I'm down to play 1750. I'm down to play 1500. I'm down to play 2K. I mean, we played competitive 1850 for God knows how long. You know, like 2K isn't some kind of holy grail in my mind. I want to play a tournament where people are coming to the tournament and having a good time. People are finishing their games, and it's a good environment. You know, I don't want people to leave stressed. I don't want people to leave pissed. You know, I don't want people to like, well, you know, in the middle of the game, we're flipping back and forth. I forgot to flip my clock, so then my clock was on his clock, and then he didn't notice it, and then suddenly it looked up, and game state was ruined, and you can't revert back.
That is true.
You know, like those kinds of things, and those things are going to happen. You know, any interactions, any saves, close combat, it's on your clock, man. You know, so that stuff is going to occur, and that stuff does leave a sour taste in people's mouth. And my mentality is this, especially on the local level, man. We know the people who slow play. You know, and we're not like not the people we rib on slow playing. Like, they're legit slow players. They're older. They're, you know, they're coming with a different thing. Hey, pull them aside and be like, listen, man, I know you want to have a good time, but I really want to finish my game. Okay? I had a conversation with a player last tournament about it. And he kind of was like, okay, all right, I'm going to try to speed it up for you. And he wasn't fast by my standards, but by his standards, I can see that he was like visibly, I don't want to say exhausted, but he was really focusing on it. And it was just because 5 minutes before the game started, I was like, listen, man, I'm in top three. I want to, if I beat you, I want to, you know, try to take this game to the end. You know?
No, definitely. So, I hear you. That makes the most sense. I don't know. I just, sometimes just some players just, I don't know if they don't know their own army, but they just so play because they're unsure of all the rules. They're unsure of, like, all the rules of other armies as well. I don't know. I just think if you sign up for a tournament environment, you signed up for the Sharks, you know, if that makes any sense. You signed up for a different atmosphere.
I think it does.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think it does and it doesn't, though. I think that's kind of like that's the great divide. Is that I think, especially on a local level, yeah, if we fly out to Vegas, man, Shark City, buddy. But on your local and even semi-local level, you know, most of our Orlando stuff, like DACACON, if I go up to DACACON, I'm probably going up to DACACON as like a dad vacation, you know? So to say I'm entering the con to swim, you know, bloodied in the water with the Sharks is kind of, I'm not saying it's a misleading statement, I'm just saying it doesn't, and you know me, I'm pretty you know, I come to win,
right?
I'm not exactly a soft, yeah, I'm not exactly a soft player.
We're not,
and even I'm like,
sir, you're definitely not a pushover. Every time I play you, I learn something, and every time I play you, it's always, Rolo, you're gonna learn what the Rolo is today.
Rolo, pay attention. Yeah.
No, but it does make me a better player playing against you and a lot of the guys I talk to on this podcast, which is awesome. You know, and it'd be really great to get you guys, you know, out there, you know, more. So that's why I did this kind of this Florida meta podcast, you know, get us all connected, yeah, in, you know, and like, all right, yeah, I got to watch out for this guy. You know, I heard a podcast about him. He's got some dirty tricks.
Tricksy. He's got some dirty tricksy.
I'm tricksy.
Yeah. But, I mean, honestly, with the 1750 and the clocks, I think it's just a wait and see approach. I think everyone's getting into the cycle of news, and it's like, oh my God, it's the end of just wait and see. Yeah.
Well, it's just something to think about, especially, you know, if we're playing competitive here in Florida, something that, you know, like our tournament's going to start going to 17
each might. Well, like for us, GrotzCon is on clock from what I understand.
Right.
So, you know, right then and there. Okay. Is it, you know, so that's pretty big for us on a local level.
Exactly.
So are we going to get our first taste of what it is, you know?
You know, even more localized, it's the Dragon. Or if we go up to Critical Hit, or if we go up to, you know, Coliseum Comics, are they going to have, like, the top tables on time? You know, that's something to think about. Like, oh, I'm going to have some turns not on time, some turns on time, you know.
That's like another issue, too. So, like, are we going to have the top tables on clocks? You and I both know that kind of doesn't work, because then what's going to happen is someone's going to be on day one. They're going to get people who aren't on clocks, and they're going to get bombed because they got slow played. So they're going to complain. You know, it's like it's either all clocks or no clocks, not, right, you know, day two clocks or, like, you know, top table clocks. Cause then top table people are the people playing the second half of the tournament are playing a different game than the people playing the first half of the tournament. But in order to get to the second half of the tournament, you need to, you know, go through the first half.
Right.
So, you know, I think right now they're trying to just kind of pull their punch, that not to get people nervous, but we both know that, like, it's going to go all clocks. If it goes clocks, it goes all clocks. You can't have, you know, people playing different games in the same event.
Yeah, you can have, like, personal, like, well, what did we use? We use, like, those kitchen clocks, like the timers.
Yeah, kitchen timers.
Yeah, man.
Well, remember, you know, War Machine was death clock. So, you know, you had your minutes, and once your minutes were up, bye-bye.
Well, you actually bring that up. What's your take on it? Should it be like ITC, where it's like 10 minutes, if you have 10 minutes left or whatever, left on the clock, my opponent runs out of time, I could take more turns? Or do you think it should go like War Machine, where it's like straight death clock, ran out of time, you lost?
I personally think it's straight death clock. I mean, I know it's probably not a popular opinion, but if you clock, you clock. If you clock, you're going to lose regardless. Let's be honest. If you clock on turn two, there's no way you come out on that game. All it's doing is making the opponent go through the motions, you know?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no way that in the ITC format, you clock yourself at the bottom of two and somehow you pull out that game. Like, all you can do is make saves and stand on objectives. You know, so from turn three to five, he's going to be killing more than you. He's going to be scoring more small. I mean, I don't know how many secondaries you score, but he'll have the full complementary secondaries. He'll have the ability to get bonus points. He'll pick and choose where to push you off on objectives. I mean, it's just basically playing solitaire. It ends up the same way. Whereas, you know, if you clock on turn four, or you clock, you know, you clock in the middle of turn five, which will probably happen quite a lot.
Probably, yeah.
I don't know. That's where it gets kind of dicey. That's where, you know, well, my opponent clocked himself, but I still lost because he was ahead. Well, you know, like, it's like, it just kind of feels kind of wrong. It's like your opponent clocked himself. Yeah, you know, like, it is what it is.
Right. He wasn't, that's a part of the game, part of the tournament. He's done.
Yeah. He's done. But it's like,
that's true. Yeah. What I've seen, though, the only defense I can say to that argument is, like, we're used to, like, on the clock at War Machine, and it's, like, smaller amount of models.
That, too. Ooh.
So,
yeah.
40K, you know, I guess maybe they brought that rule because they know, like, my first two turns, I may have taken an hour and 15 minutes, but I have 200, you know, fucking cultists on the field. I've swamped the field now. Take the rest of your time to try to kill me off the field. I don't know. Maybe
there's also
add into account.
Remember my old Mechanthrall list where I was just like, whatever, I'll just make a bunch of tough saves and you clock yourself. There's that aspect, which is, you know, unexplored, but definitely within the horizon. It's been done in previous games, creating builds that burn people's clock down. It's Pandora's box. It's hard to second guess it. We just got to experience it. We got to do it. But I would also say, let's be open to lowering the point levels. I think just try it, you know?
All right.
Are there armies that go, you know, are there unplayable armies at 1750? No. In fact, honestly, you'll probably curb some of the BS, you know? You're not going to see triple hem. It's going to be a lot harder to fit triple hemlock into the Dark Eldar build. It's going to be harder to fit, you know, your triple Dawnbite captain with your triple tank commander. Like, it's going to force more choices into the meta.
And it definitely, I think it helps some of our elite armies as well. They can kind of play catch up. Like 250 points of guard is, oh my God, that's money. So, you know, that's 250 points of guard that I can't play with, but it makes it even with, like, what, Death Watch, you know?
Yeah. Now, maybe having to face down, you know, 200 plus cultists, maybe that scales down to 150, 160 to keep my toys. Or maybe I need to not take my toys. Maybe I need to make choices here. I'm like, okay, maybe I need to trim, I need to cut two Demon Princes, or maybe I need to cut a unit of a Blitz. It's just going to force choices. Where Clock forces choices, Clock is like essentially trying to let you have your cake and eat it too. You know, you can bring whatever you want, just play it on the clock. Yeah.
Right. All right. Well, let's move over to other matters. The first thing's up. So we had a tournament up in Tate's, and talk about like a small pond with a lot of sharks. If you ever go to Best Coast Pairings, and you can see like who signed up. Yeah, there were some good players there, man. I was kind of happy. I kind of went undefeated. So I kind of wanted to tell you what the list is now and your take on it. And I'll go through like the three rounds if you have the time for it.
Shoot, Bubble.
All right. So the list was basically it was what is it? The 12 CP one brigade battalion.
Brigade. 12 CP one.
12 CP.
So
I had a Fireblade cadre and a commander, and I had three units of Breachers, three units of Fireblade. Fire Warriors. They're both minimal. The Fire Warriors had a turret. Then I had the 1 CP Vanguard. Oh, I'm sorry. And the battalion, I had a three units of four gun drones. And then I had three broadsides. They all had the high yields with flossing trackers.
Okay. The Church of VT. I like it.
Yeah, exactly. And then I had a Vanguard of three, another commander, and three units of three stealth suits, both with double marker drones, a Ghost Steel, and a Riptide. And that was the list.
Okay.
So, and oh, the Riptide had a velocity tracker, the high burst cannon, and the Ghost Keel had the four Bimble and the Raker and double burst cannon.
Okay.
Oh, and in the battalion, I had Darkstrider to make up the third HQ straight.
Okay.
So I had access to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 marker lights. Oh, I'm sorry. 13, because I had two fire sights in the Vanguard detachment.
Okay. So with that being said, in any of your games, did you feel strapped for markers?
No, actually. The fires, like really the fire sights and the Fireblade cadre with that 1 CP kind of that was just enough to get me there, if that makes sense.
Follow-up question on the marker lights. Were you able to leverage two sets of five marker lights a turn?
Yes. It was hard.
Okay.
But right. It was able. I was able to do it.
Okay. All right.
Really, like, if I wanted to get the full five, it was something that needed to go away. Like, I needed to go away, and I was going to commit the five marker lights.
Okay.
So, like, my first round was against Lewis, and he brought Nidzilla.
Big Bug Nid?
There was, like, a bunch of Carnifexes, two... Fly Rinse, Old One Eye, two Zonithropes, and then two of the, I don't know what they're called, but it's like the 20 wounds, big bug that has the, like, the 18-inch flamer.
What? Was it a Lord
yeah.
of War? Oh, no. It's the bug, oh my goodness. Nick is going to kill me. I forgot this name. He shoots an 18-inch flamer. If he stands still, he can shoot twice.
Yeah. If he stands still, he, he does something. Toughness 8.
Yeah.
So basically, everything in the army was toughness 8.
Yeah, pretty good. Distraction Carnifexes are toughness 6, but they're distraction Carnifexes.
I don't know. Like, the reason, okay. Like, my build, it really had a tough time with the toughness 8. I was rolling really well, but... Like there was a turn he got two Carnifexes to be in charge range, but I killed both on Overwatch because I'm taking everyone's under the Tau Septs. And then my Warlord trait was through Unity, so like sixes on the wounds for like Fire Warriors were like
-1.
Yeah,
that was pretty good. I usually have a hard time picking and choosing where to put that Overwatch since you get shut out for the rest of the turn on Overwatch.
Right. But
I usually just let everything into one to try to blow it up and then go from there.
I wonder if that's like something that's going to be sliding in the meta now, though, with like a lot of toughness, high toughness shit. Because like, I see myself playing with like Bulgrins in my IG now. Like high toughness, four of them, you know, that has a lot of wounds.
Well, I mean, think about it. If you you have the -8 bug surrounded by toughness 8 bugs, so your bog standard meta Tate commander is now hitting on fours, rerolling ones, wounding on fours, D3 damage. You know, it drastically starts to cut down their firepower.
Right.
So it the meta the nid meta is evolving post Flyrin nerf. They're expanding outwards to see about trying different stuff.
But still, the triple Flyrins are pretty fucking good.
Yeah, they're staple. It's like triple commander. Like it's just staple. I mean, people will break the mold, just you know. But it's you don't really go wrong leaving home with it. Yeah.
Right. And another thing I found in the list, especially against buds, like high toughness, is Strider's analyzer for the Fire Warriors.
Uh-huh.
Like they were, that does work.
Yeah.
So through Unity, it's -1, but like this toughness 8. So I'm wounding on fives. Now I'm wounding on fours. So fives should be -1, right?
Yep. +1. So you are definitely leveraging infantry. Yeah.
I'm not running a lot of infantry too, but it's just enough to be a nuisance. And I'm not afraid to, like, because I have Strider there, he has that fighting retreat shit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, you charge these three Fire Warriors, mm-hmm. Two died, one lived. Fuck it, I'll just retreat him. And he can still shoot. And he's under the aura, so he's triple shooting you.
Yep. It really helps to get those first initial wounds for focus fire.
Yeah, definitely. So, game two, another problem that, you know, that's still the problem I had most of the tournament was high toughness. So, I got to play against Juan, and he was playing the I think it's Epidemus.
Oh, wow.
Okay. What's the big 20-point wound Nurgle thing?
Well, there's the Great Unclean Ones, and then there's Scabathrax, which I saw pop up in a couple of the pictures online with him. So the Scabathrax is the toughness sign. More, he's the Lord of War guy. He's a really, really big dude with a guy licking his sword.
Yeah, that's
it. And then 22 wounds, toughness 9. Feel no pain. The regular Great Unclean Ones, they're 18 wounds, toughness 7. But they're only like 300 points. So.
Yeah, it was a Great Unclean One, I think. Or the Scabber, Scabber whatever. Scabbers. Scabbers.
Yeah, he might be good.
Yeah, he was toughness 9 with the, and he has that spell that he regenerates wounds. The toughness 9 is what fucked me up. So I had to take 2 turns of concentrating and killing him, and my Kayun early. So definitely a problem with the list, which is weird because I have strength 7 weapons, but strength 7 is just weird place right now.
There is a lot of toughness 8 in the meta that needs to get dealt with, like turn 1. You can't let it sit around all game. So, but we'll get into overall strategy later on. So you went into one. Did they have anything else of note, or was it just sort of Scabathrax and friends?
Yeah, it was Scabbers and a bunch of Marines. He was doing the -1 to hit for the Marines, and you can't target this other big blob of Marines. Unless they're,
that's not bad.
Yeah, so it was blob of Marines of Death Guard.
Okay, cool concept.
Yeah. But I was able to get it like last turn. Disgusting Resilient is really fucking annoying. Tao doesn't like that.
Messes with your math.
Yeah.
Messes how you structure your shots. Since Tao are under such pressure to make every single shot count, you know, they get some hot feel no pain rolls and blow boy, you know, now a whole riptide to shoot into something else that he didn't want to shoot into.
Yeah, there was a couple times, like, he also had, the other thing he had was the 3 drones with the floaters.
The flow tide? Or flu tide?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, the demon drone thing. That looks like a little helo.
Yeah, love that model.
Yeah. That toughness 6, disgusting resilient, fucks up Tao's math.
The 7?
Right, it's fucking annoying.
Heavy burst cannons wounded on 5s.
Actually, I'm back to 4s because I had velocity trackers. They have the fly keyword.
No. Wounds it on 5s. Heavy burst cannons.
Oh, 7. Yeah, they went on 5s.
But no, I am an avid member of the Church of Velocity Tracker.
Yeah,
you know,
it definitely came into play this game. It came into play round 1 versus the Nids with the Flyrants. I was just like, as soon as they came into play, I shot them right down. Velocity Tracker's best, very, like, they really help you out. I don't know if it's the meta with just everyone's trying to put a lot of flying shit on the board, but it definitely helps out a lot right now in the meta.
Okay. So did he just get blown up? He wasn't able to cross board effectively?
Basically, that happened. Like, he was able to get in my grill finally, but it was just like straggling Marines that were left. And then it just wasn't enough Marines to get into close combat with me. You have to really, like, what I've learned is if I make a successful castle with this list, when you, like, charge me and you just, like, say just one unit and I only see one unit be able to charge me, I'm just going to be like, yeah, everything's going to greater good you. Just pick up the fucking model.
Yeah. No, yeah. That's so, yeah, I've seen that before. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, it was bad. But he had a good game against me just because he just had that many Marines that were running around. And he was able to swamp the board, just sit on objectives, if that makes sense.
Oh, it does, definitely.
And then game three, I don't really want to... three was weird. I played against a guy from Broward.
Oh, yeah, I remember you telling us.
Yeah. I don't
know. On tilt.
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody... I thought I brought the right towel build, and I guess I did. He was playing Alpharius, like the a bunch of
Alpha
one like deploys 9 inches away from you.
Huh?
But it was like minimal Marines.
Hey, you're telling me he tried to he was like expecting like 3-5 man berserker units to get there. I was like, oh, well, do I have some bad news for you?
they got to me, but it was just not enough attacks. Not enough. And even with what's that one where they get to attack again?
Just the they have blood for the blood god naturally, so they always attack twice.
Right. But
then there's a third spend 3 CP attack a third time with them.
Well, so if he was going... I've kind of noticed that negative one profile from stealth troops.
Oh yeah.
They fuck with your math. Holy shit.
It's only a D6 system, man. The second you pip that dice, it's, you know, it's rough. It is rough.
So, yeah. So we kind of scratched that game, and but he gave me the win because he just he was apparently having a rough day on the tournament. So we'll leave it at that. So technically, I went undefeated with the list.
Okay.
And third, I really like it, and I already see some things I kind of want to change that can free up some points.
Okay. So here's my question. Did you feel – so you only have a single commander. What was he armed with?
No. I have two commanders.
Oh, two commanders. I'm sorry. Were they yeah. both – were they both
– on what? Stars? Yeah, one was triple cyclic with mm-hmm. ATS,
mm-hmm.
and one was triple cyclic with the drone controller.
Oh, so no cold stars at all.
Oh,
okay. All right. So with no cold stars,
when I started them on the field, I can do the Monkai. And what I've noticed in the entire list is very reactionary to what you do. So if you want to, like, try to come and get me, I'm like, sure, okay. So what you do on your turn, if you try to poke, like, my castle or whatever, it reacts in a weird way, if that makes sense.
Okay. So, without the ability to, like, jump into the board and scalpel, do you feel like you were going to have issues with things like backfield tank commanders and, you know, hemlocks and...
Actually...
which sounds like a problem, something like Shadow Specters?
It's pretty nasty. Like, if you're that far away, further than 36, you're not making a pivotal role. If that makes sense.
Well, tank commanders are going to downtown you like the whole game, and they are perfectly happy just to stand still and do their thing on their home objectives. So that's just them. Things like Shadow Specters, things that leverage, are capable of leveraging -3 to hit.
Right.
I'm just saying, without the ability to go in and scalpel, what are you thinking? Like, how do you go back and scalpel that kind of stuff?
Well, the stuff suits kind of get into weird places that I can do that with. The ghost kill can as well. And I'm just blowing away targets, if that makes sense. Like, you have a big blob. I can take... pick part that Big Blob away. You know. It gets there.
Okay. So, what changes are you thinking about making to it?
The gun drones. I don't think I really need any more Strength 5 shots. I think I'm going to make them into shield drones.
Okay. I dig it.
Okay, might help.
Extends the longevity of your big suits.
Great.
Okay. Anything else?
The other thing was, I don't know. I think I'm going to turn the breachers into the fireworks.
Okay.
Like, I'd rather have that extended range. That 50-inch range for the triple shot really
comes up a lot, doesn't it?
It really does.
Comes up a lot.
Like, comes up when Lewis picked up that second Carnifex, I was like, oh my God, this thing's broken. He even looked at me. He was like, Rolo, tile's broken. I'm like, yeah, it kind of is. So, yeah, I had three squads, so it's 15 apiece. So that's 30, 45 shots, hitting on fives, and then winning on fives, and sixes become minus one. Or actually,
okay. So, are there any other changes?
I think that's it. I think that's everything I wanted to do.
Okay. So, let's play a little So, do you think you're ready to go into a big meta with that?
I think it can produces a lot of strength 5 shots. Like a lot of strength 5 shots. So like the worst case, If the meta right now is moving towards like high toughness, I don't see this build working out too well. But if it stays where it's like it's that mixed high toughness with a lot of dudes, I can do just fine. The other thing I don't know about are the little trash cans, the turrets. I play with three of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're useful, but they're not clutch useful, if that makes sense.
Okay. So, oh, by the way, Unity and Devastation is only during your turn. That's what I was thinking in my head. I was like, something's wrong with that on Overwatch. So here's a little. So I've been talking with some buddies, and they're really excited about a couple big builds kind of emerging. We saw them out in the London GT. Triple Tesseract Vault, Deceiver. What are your thoughts if going into there's also triple, what is it, Storm Sword? The one that's 2d6.
Oh, the Bane.
2d6 Dem. The Bane Blade.
Yeah, the triple one.
What do you think your game plan is going into something like that?
Well, the Bane Blades have Behemoth, so I can't really, like, just go touch them and they stop firing at me. What's the other one? The Tesseract? They have it too, don't they?
Tesseract Vault have Fly. And, have you... John actually ran them at the tournament.
He ran
one.
Yeah.
I've been trying to convince him to buy two more, but he's resisting me. they have Fly. They shoot a lot of mortal wounds. They're pretty involved. They have quite a bit of rules associated with them. But they have four big Tesla guns. They shoot a bunch of strength 7, no APs, jamming shots. They also, and they killed a lot of cultists.
Oh, yeah.
We proxied up three of them, and they did quite a Denver. And on
I was watching him on top table versus Ruben. And that one just was like removing models left and right. I was like, okay.
So what's your game plan into big stuff? Because it seems like big stuff is starting to sort of like emerge. And with the Knight Codex pretty much right around the corner, like, we know it's right there. You know, what's your big stuff plan?
Well, right now, if it turns into big stuff, I actually might think about going back to the Cold Stars with the fusions. You know, that might be the play there. You know, if I take away the drones, I might be able to finagle the points for the Cold Stars. But right now, that wasn't the meta I was thinking I was going into. I was thinking like a lot of fly keyword. But I kind of see a lot of high toughness coming back in. I don't know. I don't know what the game plan is. Just hope and pray. Just keep shooting.
Just keep shooting, baby. It's a Tao mantra. I think even if the meta goes into high toughness, I still think you bring Velocity Tracker. I think Eldar is too much of a win-lose matchup for you to risk it. And they're popular enough that you're going to see them. You're going to encounter them. So it's like, in order for me to even win this matchup, right. I kind of need to bring those trackers. And not to mention, like, Fly just shows up in people's lists. It's such a powerful rule. You know, I have it in my Chaos list. I have it in my, you know, it's in Tyranid list. It's in Guard list. It's a lot of the tools that people like to use, you know, utilize models that have Fly. So it's like, you see it. It's there. And if you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. I mean, your alternative is, you know, advanced targeting, target lock. Well, target lock doesn't, if you're not moving, target lock's giving you nothing. Or if you're shooting something with 4 marker lights, target lock's giving you absolutely nothing. So, you know, if taking the risk, saying, hey, you know what, I'm gonna slightly decrease my flexibility to drastically increase my output versus pretty common builds, I think is a good trade.
Right. No, the just plus one to, you know, flying flyers. It helps out against the hemlocks, the triple hemlock builds too, because I kind of fucking hate them right now.
And they're pretty good. There's a lot of high skill in that triple hemlock build.
Oh, definitely.
It's a very definitely very high skill build. Not for mere mortals to attempt to pilot.
Well, let's see, because I kind of want to go up to Orlando soon or Tampa to see what's going on over there. You know, see what's going on in their meta. Only person I talked to over there has been Alex and Anthony. Up in the Tampa area, so hopefully
Alexander's pretty. He posts on Paradox quite a bit. I don't think I've actually personally played him yet, but he seems to be a pretty active player up there.
Oh, definitely.
They seem to have a pretty active scene.
They do. They do. They got some interesting takes on the rules too. I gotta let you go. Because we're coming up to the 50 mark here. And
all right, boss.
I really appreciate you podcasting with me today.
No problem, man. Anytime.
For sure.
All right, buddy. Have a good night,
buddy. You too. Good night. Bye.